Hey guys, this is Corey, the engineer and producer for the Taste Masters podcast. Before we get into this episode, I want to take a minute to let you know that Fuse Audio Recording is looking for new clients. If you currently have or want to start a podcast, we can help you make it sound professional and polished. We can also help you with your other recording needs, such as audiobooks, music, etc. With music specifically, we offer recording and editing services, mixing, and mastering. Whether large or small, we would love to help you with your next project. You can find us on Instagram at @fuse_audio. Enjoy the episode, and until the next recording, my friends.
Listening to the Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques.
All right, friends and family, we have an exciting episode today. I'm joined here with my co-host, dear friend, and local badass, Chad Hopkins. Chad, how you doing?
Hey, David.
Long time no see, man.
Yeah, I miss you, man.
I miss you, too. Can I tell you that you have the most bumpin' place in Sugar House?
Yeah, I mean, there's not much around here anyway, but...
Nonetheless, I think it's a badass, and the jazz is always awesome. I mean, this vibe is always cool. Like, Hopkins is the place to be in Sugar House.
Thanks, man.
And you've created that, and congratulations on your... I heard your episode on the podcast you were on just recently.
Salt City Sodes.
Yeah, Salt City. And the fact that, I mean, you're getting love, dude, and you deserve that. So, congrats, man.
Appreciate that.
But... I'm glad you're joining here today with probably one of the biggest influences I know in Utah craft beer scene and a local badass and a legend, Tim Herron, Utah Beer News. Tim, welcome, man.
A legend? I don't know about that,
man. Tim, dude, you...
That's a high bar.
You have, in my opinion, the best beer blog in Utah, period.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah, I agree. That's really good.
I appreciate that.
Thank you very much. I look forward to your newsletters.
They are the best.
Oh, wow.
And... I know there's probably a lot of dedication and time and effort you put into it, but damn, please don't stop doing that.
Okay. No, I really appreciate that. Yeah, the newsletter is kind of my baby. I love that, you know, just being able to kind of riff on a topic of the day and then include a bunch of tasting notes or news and notes about what's going on in craft beer. No, that's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing that.
Hell yeah, Tim. Okay, Tim, I want to know you more, okay?
Okay.
So where are you from? Where do you come from? Like, tell me, young, before we get to Utah Beer News and how it started, Tim, tell me about Tim, dude.
All right, about Tim. So I am Utah, born and raised.
Oh.
I grew up in Sandy, Utah.
Nice.
And spent all of my childhood there, went to school there, and went to college at Westminster College. So I stayed around here in Salt Lake and did that, got a... bachelor's in communications, and then I moved on to get my master's at UC Berkeley.
Oh, sweet.
About 20 years ago now. I'm getting old, but spent a couple years in the Bay Area. Loved it. I just love that area so much. And got my degree in journalism. So I spent a few years bouncing around to small town newspapers. And
cool.
I wrote for the Park Record, actually, was my very first newspaper job, but that was before grad school. Then after grad school, I went to Rock Springs, Wyoming. I don't know if you've been to Rock Springs, but it's a good place to spend a couple days and then leave.
Yeah, pretty much.
But I was there for a year, and it was fine. It was good. It was a good learning experience. And then I moved on to Victorville, California.
Hey!
To the high desert... Southern California.
You went from north to south, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I spent a few years there working as a sports reporter, editor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, what kind of sport? All sports?
It was mainly high school sports.
Okay.
It was still small town. Yeah. So, yeah, community newspaper. And I did cover minor league baseball, though.
Class A baseball. Baseball got my heart.
Which was a lot of fun, yeah.
What was your favorite sport to cover?
The minor league baseball, definitely. Ooh, was good. Yeah. It's like, yes. Because it's... You know, so pure. Like at that level, these guys are making no money. They're living with just host families who are taking them in for the summer. And it was just a lot of fun to kind of get to know their stories and kind of live their dream. minor league baseball, because, you know, a lot of them sadly didn't make it to the next level, but they sure had a lot of fun while they were there, and it was a lot of fun to cover. So I did that for, I guess, 3 years or so, but got a little bit burned out with newspapers. Just this was kind of the mid 2006, 2007 era, and newspapers weren't doing so hot at that time.
Yeah.
I kind of saw the writing on the wall a little bit. I was working, you know, sports, you're working nights, weekends, holidays, and cause that's when sports happen. And it was just getting a little burned out. And I had gotten married while I was in Victorville. I met my wife at Westminster College, actually.
And so shout out Amy.
Shout out to Amy. Yep. We kind of did a long distance thing for a few years. She moved to Victorville when I did. So fortunately, we were there together. Got married while I was in Victorville. And she was still working remotely from her job in Utah. And so when I decided, you know, I'm kind of maybe done with newspapers, we decided to move back to Utah. So we did that 2007, and I've been here ever since. I worked for about 10 years doing social media, marketing, copywriting for a nutritional supplements company here in Utah, and that was a lot of fun. Started up their social media department, so that kind of tells you how long I've kind of been doing this.
Yeah.
It's been around a while, and did that for about 10 years, and, you know, things kind of lined up to where we felt comfortable that I could kind of break free and do my own thing. So I started a consulting business in 2017.
Oh, what's that called?
It's just Tim Heron Digital.
Oh. So
I do copywriting, marketing, social media.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Had no idea. That's cool. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of my full-time, part-time job. And then Utah Beer News, when I left my full-time corporate job, I spent, God, honestly, like 9 months to a year researching Utah craft beer, and just wanted to find anything I could know about it, because it was booming. Like, this was 2017, it was booming, obviously, it still is. And then 2018, I decided to launch Utah Beer News.
Hey! Yeah,
so we're going on 4 years now, and I really wanted to position that as a site that's like brand journalism is what I call it, kind of, you know, promoting breweries and brewers and the brands, but also kind of with a journalistic approach to it. So telling the stories and sharing news, things like that. And, you know, it's been fun. Yeah, 250 articles, 70 podcast episodes. Going on 50 newsletters now, so it's been a good time.
So you just got animated when you started talking about Utah Beer News.
Oh yeah,
so it's still a little baby. It's a passionate dude,
and
that's
it
the thing is people, you know, in the community, and, you know, when you talk us all up, we appreciate that, man. And the passion is felt within that newsletter and your podcast. Like, you are a badass.
Oh.
Like, so I'm speaking for Chad, but thanks for doing what you do, man.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Yeah. No, it's been a lot of fun getting to know, people like Chad, like you, and I love what you're doing for the community, too.
Thank you.
Guys, 120 episodes now, almost.
Almost two, yeah.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Every week. I don't know how I'm doing.
Every week.
Yeah,
Jesus. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, at the end of 2021, people who have been following Utah Beer News know that I kind of took a little bit of a step back. I posted an article on my site just because I was trying to reevaluate what I wanted the site to be and how I wanted it to evolve, move forward. Because, I mean, there's so many people now doing great things in the beer world as far as writing about it, podcasting about it. So I wanted to really look at Utah Beer News and determine, how do I want to carve a niche in my in my reporting and my writing. And so for the last 3-4 months or so, I've just kind of really been looking, taking a step back and seeing, you know, how do I want this site to evolve? And I'm glad you mentioned the newsletter earlier, because that's really where I think my focus is going to be going forward. That's what I love. I mean, we got 1,000 subscribers who are reading it, probably pretty tuned into the beer world. So that's who I want to write to. Like, I want to write for people who care about beer, who have opted in to read about it. And so, you know, I haven't written about this yet. It'll probably be in a future article or next month's newsletter, but I think that's where the focus is going to be going forward.
Ooh.
I mean, I really love the website and the podcasting, but I think for Utah Beer News, I think I'm going to really focus on that newsletter that subscribers can subscribe to, utahbeernews.com/subscribe.
I like that. Yeah, plug that all day long. But yeah, the thing about it is, I remember, Chad, did you ever have a paper route back in the day? Did you ever do a paper route?
Kind of. Like a school.
Did your father or anyone have like newspapers? Like that was how they got their news, right? They opened the...
I feel like
it was a ritual almost.
Sure,
come home from work or in the morning with breakfast. Uh-huh. Like I remember my grandpa always had the newspaper because he needed to be updated because that's where we got our information from before social media and TV, whatnot. And so I look at your newsletter as like, I can't keep track of, I don't know how you do it, Tim. God bless you because I can do it. But I want to know what Bonneville's doing. I want to know what PK's doing. I want to know what Ogden's doing. I need to know what Sugar, and you give them that newsletter kind of like a widespread of here's just blah, here's the news. And that's just like, it's so refreshing to see your newsletter. Cause it's like, oh God, I didn't know that. Oh, thank God. Oh, this date's coming up. Thank God.
It's all together instead of going all over the social media, trying to find all
things. Yeah. And then you plug and you links and you have everything. It's so easy. It's so user friendly.
Oh, thank you.
And
so many breweries are great about posting content on their own social media, but it can kind of be difficult to find. I'm grateful for people like Chad who actually send me, like, you know, we've got this new beer releasing or we've got the Small Batch Friday coming up. Here's what it is, because that makes it so much easier for me because then it comes right to me. I don't have to worry about, you know, possibly missing it on
the
social
data
media.
Comes to you.
Yeah. So I love that. I mean, I'll go through every month and just kind of do a rundown of every brewery's social media to see what they've been releasing or anything new or noteworthy. But, you know, I'll always give preference to the handful of breweries who are sending it directly to me. And that's wonderful too. And also, I mean, everybody loves the new beers and like the latest and greatest. I do too. But I like to delve a little bit more into like the stories behind the beers or the breweries or the brewers. And a lot of times I've noticed that the breweries aren't really doing that on their own social media.
Yeah.
So if there's a way for me to kind of, you know, contact them and get them to, you know, share what's happening outside of these new beer releases, I'm all for that. And I'd love to promote that kind of stuff too. And again, Chad's a great one who is always willing to tell me what's going on at Hopkins. And
yeah, so Chad, why is that? Why you send Tim Herron Small Batch Fridays?
I don't know how we got started sending that to him, but he always reposts it and like might add some fun stuff to it, and so I always appreciate it, and he'll like send it out to the community. But yeah, we've been doing Small Batch for a few years now, and I don't know. I don't even know how that happened, but... Yeah. But now it's like, all right, I got to send Tim the new beer release, new Small Batch Friday. Yeah. So it's stuck.
I look forward to it. Yeah, it's always fun to see what you guys are coming up with and what you're naming these crazy concoctions.
Okay, so like the
a lot of pop culture.
The Worcestershire
steak ale.
Did you ever try that one?
I want to say I did. I think I made a special trip down for that, actually.
Man, I love that beer.
Yeah, it's
really
pretty good.
It's fantastic. And it's one of those like, Matt, what the hell are you doing? But at the end of the day, it tastes like a beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still palatable.
Yeah. Can't complain.
Well, that's what I love, too. I mean, obviously, Chad's here, and we're in Hopkins Brewery, but just the fact we were talking earlier, David and I, about just how you've got so many lagers on tap right now. And I just love that you can balance. So you got the lagers, but then you got all this off the wall stuff that, that you're really, you know, cause people like both. I'll drink the crazy stuff, but then I'll probably finish with something
different.
Something. Yeah. So I love it.
Yeah. And what Chad and Matt are doing here is, you know, their small system and they're continuing to growing. I mean, their growth is, you're still growing, man. I know you've probably tapped out here, but you're gonna keep going, and you're blowing through beer, dude.
Yeah, it's kind of scary.
But it's a good problem to have, right?
We need a bigger brewery. Yeah, it's fine.
Because you do the contract brewing, right? And you have the lagers over there.
Uh-huh.
And now you have kind of a plethora you can kind of maintain for a while. And that's awesome because I feel like every time we have the Pico Rico or the Pils of Rye, it's like it's gone in like a weekend because it's so damn good, dude. Because Hopkins is not just funky wild beers, but it's quality beer too.
Oh, yeah.
And that's award-winning beer, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're entering this one into the World Beer Cup.
I'm excited for it, man. Yeah. Hopkins is a great place to be. What's another place that gives you information, feeds you information that you're just proud of? Like, thank God they give me the information.
Yeah. Oh, Rob over at Roja is really great about giving me a heads up on what they've got going on. And Mark Madura over at Level Crossing, he's pretty good at telling me what's going on. Gus at Epic sends me stuff from time to time. There's a lot who are really trying to get the word out there, and I appreciate that. I know like resources are an issue for a lot of these breweries. Like time is hard to come by. I mean, these people are wearing so many different hats that the last thing they're probably thinking about is, oh shoot, I got to send information to Utah Beer News. And I really appreciate those who are doing it, and that's why I try to give a little bit more love, a little bit more preferential treatment to the ones who are taking the extra effort to do that. And also the breweries that have their own newsletters, I think that's a big help too, especially for just an average beer drinker who might not be in tune with what's going on in the beer world, to get something in their email once a month or however often they send it, just giving a high level view of what they've got going on at their brewery, I think is pretty valuable.
And yeah.
I would love to see more breweries doing that sort of thing as well.
See, I think you can be a mouthpiece is the best way I can put it, but I think you're the person that can kind of push that in the right direction. So keep that going, brother.
Yeah, it's definitely a goal for me here, is to have a newsletter eventually.
Yeah, especially with all the events you've got going on, like nightly events. I mean, you post a lineup on your Instagram, and that's great. But you've got so much going on. It'd be nice to keep up with in a digest type form, I guess. And that's kind of what I try to provide a little bit as well.
Hell yeah. So you said you made a special trip for certain beers sometimes. Do you make special trips to breweries for their certain beers? Do you make it?
Yeah, boy, I don't make it out as much as I probably should. I don't drink as much beer as I probably should.
that's a good thing.
It's a good thing. I'm kind of weird when it comes to craft beer nerd, I guess, in quotes, that I'm not super stoked about like getting the latest and greatest all the time. I mean,
not a hype man, huh?
I'm not a hype man. Yeah, I won't stand in line necessarily for a beer, and I won't, go on opening release day to grab a beer necessarily, unless there's some other reason, like I have a relationship with the brewer,
sure.
Or they invited me to come down, and that's always something that I look into. But there's so much beer out there right now that I think a lot of it still, some of the tried and true doesn't get the love that I think it deserves sometimes, because everybody's so focused on the new and exciting, which is
sexy.
Yeah, the sexy. Yeah. And I get that. I mean, somebody always wants to, be the one to taste something first or to try it first. And that's just human nature. But that's something I've tried to do in my website and podcast as well, is really kind of promote some of the legacy brands, I guess you could call them, or the ones that really, like you said earlier, keep the lights on for a brewery. Because I think in the fast-paced social media world we live in, like if it's not like new, then people just forget about it, and I don't like that as much.
And that's why I look up to you, Tim, is because you magnetize the passion. And so when there's passion behind a beer that's not necessarily being spotlighted, you go like, something's about that. I'm going to talk about that real quick.
Right.
And that's why I leave the new sexy beers to Mikey.
Oh, yeah.
Mikey, bro, I see him at every fucking brewery. I'm like, man, good for you, dude. He's like, it's tough. And that's why I think the best way I can explain, I think what Mikey's doing is, I love Mikey. I love him to death. He's a great guy. And
he's a big reason I started this, to be honest with you.
Great, because he has the best new beer. I love his new beer fry. Like, that's where I get a lot of my news from. Yeah. Like, I like, but he does that research himself.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean,
he's a machine.
He is.
And he's been doing it for probably close to 20 years now, I think.
When there were just a few breweries.
Every week, he's got just a lineup of new beers. And I look at it every week, and I see what's new and what should be what I should put on my list to not get maybe this week, but maybe a week or two down the road. And he's just done a phenomenal job for – it's not just new beers for him either. It's just like he's such an ambassador for the beer community. Like, he is such a good promoter of Utah craft beer. And I that was one reason I got into doing this, is because I was so impressed with what he was doing with Utah Beer Blog, that I wanted to not copy him, but kind of compliment what he was doing. So maybe if he was writing about a new beer, maybe I would talk to the brewer and get a little bit more information about, you know, the story behind the beer, or something a little bit, you know, a little bit different.
And yeah, that journalistic, that's where your niche, like right there. So have you ever seen Mikey as a threat?
As a threat?
Yeah, like, as in, like, when it comes to, like, competition.
No.
Yeah, so you have a good relationship with Mikey?
Yeah.
So why haven't we seen a Utah Beer Blog and Utah Beer News collab?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. For my part, it's probably because I don't spend as much time as I should, probably.
So let him do that, beer side. But then you do the journalistic part.
Yeah.
That'd be really cool. I want to hear you both on a podcast. That'd be really cool.
That'd be fun.
Because how you look at Mikey is how we all look at Mikey.
Yeah.
But I look at you the same way that you look at Mikey.
Okay.
So, like, you are just up there like these badasses, like, yo, what the hell? These guys are like, you know. So when I started the podcast, I had no idea you guys existed.
Oh, yeah.
And then when I got into, like, I became part of the beer scene, and I realized you guys existed. I'm like, oh, shit. I don't want to copy those guys, but I want to compliment at the same time.
No,
I've never thought of you guys as competition or as a threat, but I've always been like, those guys have their own little cool badasseries. I guess I'm going to figure out my own badassery. Right?
Exactly. Yeah, it's a good mix, though. Everybody's got their own.
Yeah, and it's complimentary.
Their own style. Sound. Like,
no.
Every time I see Mikey, it's a big bro hug. Tim, every time I see you, it's going to be a big bro hug, and let's have a pint, man.
Yeah, for sure. No, there's a lot of good, you know, so much great content being created about Utah beer right now.
I mean, and that's what Mikey said. He said it's whatever brings more attention to Utah beer, bring
it. Exactly.
And that's that was the most humble thing he ever said to me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Mikey and Tim.
And I mean, it's not easy to do. I mean, you know what goes into, like, just scheduling guests and doing the research on the guest ahead of time to ask intelligent questions, producing a podcast like weekly. That's amazing. Like, my podcast schedule was, it wasn't as regular. And so, that's why I kind of backed off a little bit on that, because, oh, man, David at Tastemasters, he's killing it with the podcast. Maybe I'll move, shift a little bit to a different angle. I'll still have podcasts from now, you know, time and again. But I, like, in my newsletter this last month, I gave you a shout out.
Yeah, saying I appreciate that. Thank you.
That you're my go-to beer podcast, just because, you know, you're talking to
Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, you're going to all the breweries and not just breweries, I guess.
Yes, distilleries and anything in the fermentation process.
Fermentation,
like, kombucha is just as important as the coffee that goes into it or the chocolate that goes in the beer.
Yeah, I've learned a ton just from listening to what you and your guests are talking about. So I think that's a valuable component to the overall scene. And so,
because I find it passionate, because my grandfather was a journalist. I loved that about him.
Yeah.
But I'm not patient enough to sit down and type and write and, like, do the nitty gritty, but put me in front of a group or bring people and I'll talk your ass off. Yeah. Let's go. Let's just have a conversation. Let's jive. That's it. So I guess that's my strength, and I'm trying to play to that.
Yeah.
Well, I let Mikey do his strength. I let you do your strength, because I feel like we make this beer community that much better. Yeah. And people like Chad, we need to showcase artists like this guy right here.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Like, you're an inspiration to me, Chad. Like, this is part of the reason why I do this, is because as a brewer, as a friend, as a podcast, like, you are what I want to highlight and showcase. It's you, man.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah. That's why I told you the other day I love you. I tell you weekly.
Oh, I love you too, man.
I just wish I had your flow, man. God damn, it's looking good.
I don't think those curls, though, man.
I know. What's the last beer you went to for a special release that you saw or heard of? Maybe a hype beer, or maybe like Let's it's you know, talked about. What's something you like? I have to go get that beer.
Huh. That's a good question.
I'm following Tim.
Yeah, let's see. I went to Grid City for their
Imperial Brown
barrel aged releases.
The Madeira
barrel. Yeah,
sitting on those last night.
Did you?
How was it?
Yeah. Well, we had our poker game. One of my buddies works there, and he brought it to our game. And, so good. Just the aroma. I just sat there and smelled it for a while. Like,
that's why, Tim, we need to go in a little secret candle making business with beers, because I'm telling you, that's
the aroma.
I just want to get candles.
Yeah.
Those,
oh, yeah.
Right? Just light it up.
Yeah.
I want a Pacifico candle really bad.
Oh, yeah. I've heard Pacifico is your beer, huh?
Oh, that's my jam. It's always going to be my fridge. If I don't have my fridge, there's a problem, right?
Yeah. So
that's what's going on.
For sure. Yeah.
I have one more question, then we're going to take a little break, because you're also an avid homebrewer, right?
Right.
So what got you into homebrewing?
That's a good question. I've always kind of been interested in the craft of brewing, but it was really, so it's been almost 10 years now. It was 2013. I actually remember this moment pretty clearly. I was sitting with a buddy at Beer Hive. We were drinking tons of fresh squeezed
Deschutes.
From Deschutes had just come out that summer. I was in the 22-ounce bombers, and we were just drinking bottle after bottle of that. And we were talking, and this buddy of mine, Dave Baker, actually, I'll give him a shout out because he's been on my podcast and on the website a few times. But I've known him for years, and I worked with him. He's a home brewer, and so we were just talking. I was kind of interested in how it all works, and I wanted to take a shot at making my own beer. And so he gave me a lot of information on that. And then actually, Northern Brewers, Brewing TV. I don't know if either of you are familiar with that.
Oh, I love that show. Yeah, I've watched that.
I just binged their episodes. So it was back when I had my my iPod Classic with a little tiny screen.
Oh, yeah.
And I would just
still
watch.
Have mine.
Yeah. It was so big. It was like 160 gigabytes of music.
It was amazing.
And stuff. You could store anything on
breakthrough.
There. Breakthrough. But so I was watching.
Just have the click wheel?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, the click wheel. Yeah. So I was watching Brewing TV episodes on this little tiny screen. And I really loved the way they were explaining brewing. And it was kind of like what I wanted to do too, eventually. And what I modeled Utah Beer News after a little bit was their style of storytelling and talking to brewers and things like that. So I learned a lot from watching those episodes and then talking to my buddy. And so that was 2013. Brewed my first batch that fall. It was an Irish Red Ale, just an extract kit from Northern Brewer. It turned out okay. Not great. But and so I kind of fell in love with it from there. And I've been brewing ever since. Not a ton. Probably, I don't know, 8 to 10 batches a year, maybe once every month or so. And
that's good.
Yeah.
You've been entering these into competitions?
Yeah.
Have you brought back any accolades?
I have.
Hey, Tim. Accolades.
Yeah, no, it's been pretty good. A couple golds at the Beehive Brew Off. And,
nice.
It was like a peanut butter stout that I brewed. That was pretty tasty.
Ooh, why did you do the peanut butter?
I'm not sure exactly sure why. I found a recipe.
How did you?
It was PB2.
Okay.
I just put in some PB2. I think it was in primary, maybe secondary, but just powdered peanut butter. And I like that because it was fairly subtle. It wasn't too peanut buttery. It was more chocolatey, which I kind of liked. But that one did well. Then last year, in fact, one of the beers I brought, it's a Munich style Helles.
Yes.
So that one actually.
You are a brewer.
That was one of my early lagers. That was probably my second lager I did, but I submitted that to NHC, the National Homebrew Competition, and it took silver.
Tim. Yeah. Congrats, man.
What year did you do that one?
It was just last year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was 2021. So I was.
That's
shocked.
Awesome, man.
I mean, yeah, it was very cool. I was very surprised. I thought it was a good beer, but I didn't think it was like
because we're all hard on ourselves.
But yeah,
look at that. So unbiased people chose that as a silver. Like, good for you, man.
Yeah, so I was pretty excited about that. Yeah, so you'll have to let me know what you think. It's not the batch that I submitted, but it's a follow-up batch to it that I think, I mean, same recipe, obviously. I think it turned out pretty good. So
hell yeah. So on that note, brother, what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, go refuel, bring some of these homebrews out, and we're going to crack these open.
Awesome.
Sound good?
Yeah. I'm excited.
Cool.
This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you want to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms.
All right, friends, we're back, and we have Tim Herron's homebrew in front of us. Tim, I'm pumped, dude, because you've been making this. You've been, you're an award winner. So what's the first? You have a Helles, a Brown, and a Scotch in front of us.
Right, yeah.
So take us through with the one you want to open, brother.
Well, I think we should probably start with the Helles.
Yes.
I have some notes here, so I wanted to make sure I get this. So this is the one that I brewed last summer.
This is the one you're talking about?
NHC, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is Munich style lager. My wife and I went to Munich in 2019 and Bamberg. I drank my weight in Helles during that trip.
How was that? Yes. Was that just phenomenal?
It was such an awesome trip.
Chad, have you been out there by chance?
No, I've never been to Europe. That's a big goal. So
yeah, this is I'm kind of geeking, Tim, right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, I love this style of beer. It's a nice, clean lager. I was talking about Northern Brewers Brewing TV earlier, and Michael Dawson, who was one of the people on that, I guess what was it? It's kind of like a podcast video.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a book called The Mash Maker. I think it's The Mash Maker. And he had just a bunch of recipes, and this is pretty similar to what his Helles recipe was. There's a couple additions just because I think I had a slightly different hop that I had availability. So slightly different from his recipe, but I give him credit for creating a good recipe. And this is just a nice, easy drinking 5% Helles. Like I said, I brewed it last summer. So
well, cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Cheers. And this really is my very last bottle. So,
oh man,
I wasn't even able to taste it to make sure it's okay ahead of this. So,
how long?
Be kind.
Last summer you brewed it?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's still.
Well, let's see. I brewed the first batch for the competition pretty close to summer. This one, I think, was actually. This one was actually September, this batch.
No, that held up.
Nice. Taste that. Pilsner malt. Now, right. Is this all grain?
Yeah. Yeah, this is all grain. My notes here, I think it's all Weyermann malt. German tradition hops. Only an ounce of hops for five gallons. Yeah.
And do you... bottle condition or keg?
I bottle condition.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like the lacing.
A little hazy. Well, I guess that's pretty clear.
That's cool.
Mine's
that's
brilliant.
Clear.
I think you just got some dregs in here. Got some dregs this there, is great.
Yeah, I like the clarity. I was like, I was going to say, how the hell are you getting that? It's awesome.
I would drink the hell out of this.
I would crush these, Tim. Yeah. Wow.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
I want to say something about Michael Dawson. I watched that show. Long time ago, And they, Northern Brewery, you know, they ended up selling out to the big brewers.
Yeah.
And those guys all left and stopped doing the show. But who was the other guy? Jake
Keeler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Chip
Walton. I still watch his new show.
Chop and Brew.
Chop and Brew. Yeah.
That's a good show.
Yeah.
But I ran into Michael Dawson at Homebrew Con 2018 or something. And
oh, really?
I think he works for BSG now, but I just gave him a shout out. I'm like, oh, I loved your show. And he's like, you know my show? Like, people didn't really know much about that show. Yeah. So definitely watch, like, old school.
I think they're still online somewhere. But yeah, that's a lot of good information on homebrewing and then just kind of history of brewers, too. Like, they do
a lot of cool history.
Like, so it's kind of a step back in time to what craft beer, kind of like the launching pad of the craft beer boom almost for the mid-2000s. So,
and what's one of the favorite styles you've ever brewed, or like go back to brewing? Like, I want to brew this one. This is my baby. Do you have a baby?
Man, I don't really have a baby because, I do like to experiment a little bit, so I'll do a different style every batch, but kind of my process is I will brew a couple batches early in the year and then rebrew those because I give some homebrew to neighbors and friends and family for Christmas. So I'll kind of do a test batch early in the year and then make a few tweaks here and there and do another batch later in the year. This brown ale that we might taste next, this is one that I did that process for where I did it earlier in the year and then did one for Christmas, and I think it turned out pretty well. I'm a fan of brown ales, and up until the last couple years there weren't really that many that I was coming across locally.
Favorite brown ale right now then, locally? The one that comes to mind?
I don't know. Don't put me on the spot. But I guess Grid City is kind of known for their brown ales, aren't they?
Is that cask condition brown ale?
We were talking about brown ales last night. It's funny. Like, yeah. We just put our Beehive Brown on. And then Fisher's got their Brother Brown, which I really like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what's the other brown they have? Buzzard Brown, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that one's good.
One, like,
there's only three breweries doing brown ales.
Yeah. I don't know why malty beers aren't sexy to the community, the consumer right now.
Malty beers,
because we have a mild down south and an alt beer. Like, I like those malty kind of forward. Anyway,
nobody knows what they are.
Yeah. Well, this one is a little bit hoppier than a traditional brown. I think this one, Chad probably know. You probably both know Janet's Brown Ale.
Hmm. Oh yeah,
Tasty
McDole.
Yeah. So he passed away. I mean, he passed away last year, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Uh-huh. But he had brewed this. It was a kind of a famous homebrew recipe that he had brewed for his wife, and it won gold. I put a note. It won gold at the National Homebrew Competition, 2004. And so I found a kind of a clone recipe. In fact, I think this was a Russian River clone because it was in one of like Craft Beer and Brewing magazine or something like that.
Yeah, he brewed at Russian River, brewed this beer, and they collabed it every once in a while, I think. So.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of like how this turned out.
I've brewed this beer as a home brewer.
Did you?
Many times. It's a great recipe.
Oh, yeah, Chad.
Let me see if I can remember. Is it Northern Brewer Hops? Uses in it? Let's
see what I put in this one. So this one, all I've got written down is Cascade and Centennial.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's mostly two-row, a little bit of Golden Promise, a pound of white wheat for 5 gallons.
Why is Golden Promise so good?
I love Golden Promise.
Can I just say that right now? I'm just a sucker for Golden Promise. That's so great. So, Tim, while you're pouring this, I have a question for you. You've been giving beers to beer judges. You've interviewed beer judges. Have you ever considered becoming a beer judge? Or are you a beer judge?
No, I'm not a beer judge, but I would like that. In fact, kind of when I'm taking a step back from Utah Beer News a little bit, that's what I want to focus on, is really kind of studying beer and beer tasting and preparing
BJCP?
For BJCP.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I'd like to do that.
I mean, Jay, you've interviewed Jay.
Right, yeah.
She's great, and she's a great source to have.
Exactly.
Cody over at Bewilder, he holds those tests there.
Right.
I mean, I think the next one, you need to be there, and I'm going to be on your ass to be there. I really will.
Yeah. I'd like to do that.
Because I feel like you have a palate where you can pick this out, and you've brewed enough where let's get going, man.
All right. Yep. Nope. I agree with you on that one.
So, cheers, homies.
Cheers. Yeah.
Cheers.
So this one, again, I brewed.
Your clarity's on your beers.
Late, around the same time. So late September, early October. So it's a little dated at this point. But
oh, yeah. Tasty was at HomebrewCon 2018, and he brought Jan Brown.
Did he?
Got to taste it.
Oh.
I was in Portland.
Mm. That was actually the first HomebrewCon I went to.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a lot of fun.
Probably saw each other there.
Probably.
Drinking lots of Rainiers.
Yeah. So this one, yeah, like, I mean, the hops might have faded a little bit, but I still get a little bit of the chocolatey.
I get a nice hop aroma to it still.
Yeah. It's got the aroma still. You can tell it's fading, but it's there. I want this in a cask.
So good.
Yeah, I'm impressed with your clarity and your head retention. Tim,
thank you. Yeah, up until the last couple of years, I've only been all grain brewing for about 3 years. I did extract for my first
you
five or six
all
years.
All grain?
I do. Yeah.
I mean, you've got your process down. Your beers are great.
Yeah, and when I got my all grain equipment, I decided I was going to spring for some fermentation control as well, so I got a chest freezer, so now I'm able to pretty much dial in my fermentation temp.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That
is
My first 5 or 6 years I was just storing it in my closet and hoping it didn't get too hot.
That's what Matt was doing.
Start out in the basement, bring it upstairs.
The garage game. But Tim, well done, man.
Thanks. I'm
really enjoying that. I think the balance, you have a nice bitterness balance, and then that malt character comes forward too. Like that.
I mean, this is a treat because I love homebrew. Homebrew, like, commercial brewer is great, yeah. But, like, homebrewers, there's, like, a certain level of passion, and, like, you're not worrying about making money off it or anything. So, like, it's really fun to drink homebrew. And I've been bugging Tim for years. I'm like, you homebrew? Bring your homebrew.
I know. I need to bring more down.
It's my first time.
You got it, Tim. Yes. I like it.
That's very impressive. So, thank you.
So, going off the homebrew, Tim, I'm going to hit you with a bunch of questions then.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad
Chad's here.
don't be scared, brother. Have you interviewed any on your podcast, any home brewers?
I did, yeah. So Ryan Van Leer, he was one of my early guests on my podcast. You might know him. He's on Instagram as the Flying Bassoonist. Great guy. And so Flying
bearded
Bassoonist.
Guy, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, bearded guy. But yeah, and so Flying Bassoonist, I just was so interested in that username. So he's a bassoonist, and he builds airplanes. I think like real airplanes, but you know, small airplanes, like
but flyable.
yeah
oh wow,
yeah. And it's been 2 or 3 years since I've interviewed him, but he's a home brewer, and he's actually the one who pushed me into getting it all grain, because I saw his setup and decided I am going to do exactly what you're doing. And so, yeah, he's a great guy. As far as other homebrewers, Jay, obviously, you mentioned. I've interviewed her. Trying to think of any other homebrewers. That might be about it. I know I'm forgetting somebody, I'm sure. But
and that's all right. Is there any homebrewing advice you've gotten that you're like, you're going to take to the grave? Like, that's great advice from a homebrewer. Like, hey.
I think, I mean, process, just pay attention to the process, really dial in your temperatures. I think that's probably the biggest thing for me, is really determining what I want this to mash at, how long I want to rest, what I want the, fermentation to be like. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that. So going back on the podcast, has it been difficult to... So your last podcast was in December 2021 with the old Joey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So
Joey,
great guy. I love Joey. Joey's a great guest to have on, by the way.
I listened to your episode with him. Yeah.
You were there. Yeah, we were here. Yeah, it was fun. Joey's a hoot, man. I fucking love that guy. But has it been hard to find guests for podcasts? What's your process of finding guests for podcasts?
Not really. You know, the podcast for me is really kind of just a secondary thing. I usually go in with an article in mind, and so I'll just take my podcast equipment and record the interview. And that way I'll get all the information that I need for my article, but then I'll release it as a podcast episode as well.
Gotcha.
I'll edit a little bit and release it that way. So it really hasn't been too difficult. I mean, anytime I've reached out to somebody, they've been more than willing to say, hey, yeah, I'll do it. It's really just more of a time thing on my end. Like, I need to really make sure I have the resources available where I can devote. Because for me, you're just doing it part-time. You know, occasionally, I need to carve out the time to, like, research the topic, set some time aside to record it, and then obviously all the post stuff where you have to, you know, transcribe notes and write the article and then edit the podcast. So it's really just, and it's just me. So, I have to make sure I have enough time to devote to it, to really give it the attention that it deserves. Cause these people are taking time out of their day, out of their busy day, to talk with me. So I want to make sure that I do it upright and, it really hasn't been an issue finding people. It's just more on my end, finding time to do it.
Right. So for in 2022, who's your next guest, your first guest you're going to interview for your podcast?
Oh, man.
Because I'm waiting for a Tim Herring podcast. Let's go.
You're waiting for another one, huh?
Who are you going to?
I interviewed Offset earlier this year for another article I was writing.
Oh, Patrick.
So Patrick and Connor. Yeah. So I've got that, that I'm probably going to release here, in the next little while. But as far as next person to talk to, boy, I don't know.
Is there someone in mind you want to talk to? You haven't talked to?
You know, I do have things I think I'm going to line up with, for Lagerpalooza, which is coming up. So I'm hoping that I'll
blow that up.
I'll be able to
brewed a beer for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right. Be able to get to chat with Bohemian and Bewilder a little bit.
Oh, yeah. That'd be fun.
About their I think it's the biggest lager homebrew competition in the country.
I've been entering that for years as a homebrewer. And there's people from all over the country sending in beer that aren't even there. And it's like, this whole homebrew competition.
It's intimidating.
The boho, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's impressive to know what they've built there. But they have they not had it for, is it 2 years or just 1 year? I don't know.
I think it was just 1 year.
Just 1 year? Okay. So they're trying to ramp up a little bit again to kind of get some momentum there. So I'm hoping I can chat with them and kind of find out why they decided to start a lager competition way back when and how it's grown over the years.
Are we still going to do mobile virtual, or are we going to go back to face-to-face kind of interviews?
Oh, face-to-face, whenever possible. I did a lot of the, Three Beers with Joey podcast, virtual, just because those were shorter ones, and he was just talking about three new beers that they had down at Slackwater. So we figured it would be easier just to take 10 minutes to talk about them over Zoom rather than schlepping all the way down to Slackwater.
That makes sense.
But whenever possible, I love, in-person interviews and talking with people.
It's fun to do those short interviews too.
For sure.
That's right. Yeah, you were on one of those. Yeah, you and Matt.
Uh-huh.
Were
both you and Matt. Yeah, that's
right. You were kind of one of my guinea pigs. They were one of the first ones to do this virtual tap room concept.
COVID. It was during COVID.
It was like last March, maybe March or April. So a little bit post COVID.
And I think we did one with the Stonewall Sour, in the middle of
that was right Stonewall in the middle of COVID.
In the middle of all the shit. So
yeah.
Man, what a great
I think
beer.
I've done three podcasts with you.
I think so. Yeah, so we did the real one where we learned all about you. And then we did another concept I had was virtual tastings. Uh-huh. So during COVID, we would taste a beer together. And Chad did that with Stonewall. And then virtual tap room, we did one with Chad and Matt in the basement here.
Oh, that's fun.
Zoom. Yeah,
that's really cool. That's cool. Yeah. So speaking of March and the virtual, You typically do a March Madness.
Oh no.
beer bracket.
I was just thinking about that. I don't
Tim,
have one lined
I'm looking
up.
At my watch that I don't have right now. It's
it'll
March.
Be, I know. It'll
Let's
be the first
go,
one.
Because if you don't give me a March Madness, I'll be a little upset. And the fact that a Grid City beer didn't win last time, I'm a little upset, you guys.
Oh, it won with one of us. One
who,
of us
who
picked
was
it.
I think it was it who's been, the one running for Ben.
But I think oh yeah, I think Ben picked the Grid City Brown.
But the rest of you guys, come on guys. I know. What's wrong with you?
What did I pick? I
can't remember the top of my head. That's why I started following Ben. I'm like, I like Ben because Ben's got a good palate.
Yeah. Oh man, no, thank you so much. Those are fun to do.
Hey, and it's March, dude. We need one.
I know.
Come on, man.
I know they're hard March to do. Madness. They're hard to do. It requires a couple days of traversing the valley.
If you need help, we'll send you beer.
Oh yeah,
that's fine. So I'm calling you on that one.
All right.
What's a source of some inspiration for you when it comes to not only the podcast, but Utah Beer News, the newsletter, all of it? What's driving you, man?
Oh,
because you had a little, you know, I hated the very your last pot, the end of 2021, where it seemed like you were about to hang up the boots, and I was like, no, fuck no, like no, no. So,
yeah,
where do you find that inspiration? Where you're trying to find that drive to continue?
You know, I find it a lot of places. I find it just talking to brewers when I'm in, you know, in a tap room drinking a beer, or I'll chat with different people, and they kind of, you know, inspire me to keep going or motivate me because they've got all this cool stuff they're doing. I read a lot. I try and keep up to date on kind of national trends and what's going on in the craft beer world overall. And it's really just talking to people. Like the more people I talk to, the more inspired and motivated I get. The more people tell me about stuff is also kind of a good thing. Like when
it's a little validating.
Yeah, when they've got something that they're really excited about or they want promoted, if they tell me or make an effort to really say, hey, we've got this going on, thought you should know about it. That's cool. That gets me motivated. Just a lot of different things. But you know, I'm kind of excited just about, you know, what I've been thinking about the last few months, where I want to take, you know, the direction of Utah Beer News to focus more on the subscribers who are really invested, because they trusted me enough to give me their email address and subscribe to read what I write every month. So
you kind of put yourself on a pedestal like that.
Well, I mean, it's something that I don't see many other people doing in the beer world is sending out.
And that's why this community needs you. Utah Beer has a great, we have an awesome community here.
Yeah.
And you are that mouthpiece that we kind of shine to. I've never met a person, Tim, that doesn't like you. Oh. So I'm just kissing your ass because you're right here. I'm not kidding.
Okay.
It's always like, he's a big-hearted, nice guy, always smiling, and he's passionate. Oh, that's what I hear from fucking everybody, dude. So you can't let that go. Okay. If you do, let's have a chat. You and I are going to have a talk, dude.
I still need to visit you down in Strap Tank. I've only been to the Springville location once. I haven't been to Lehigh. So, yeah, maybe we need to get on that.
Say the word, homie. Right. Say the word.
All right.
I'm very jealous of
But no, I appreciate that, sincerely. I do, you know, love that people are enjoying what I'm doing, and I love doing it. So, thank you.
Yeah, as a consumer and as a brewer, I'm like, this needs to happen. This needs to be a thing.
Yeah. Because Utah's cool. Utah, who would have thought? Salt Lake City and Utah, like, have a badass beer scene.
I know.
And I'm okay with it.
It's wild.
Yeah.
It's just we didn't have it for so long. And like, I think so many people just got really passionate. I'm like, we got to do this. And now it's just like, here we are. Like, doing the thing.
Are you finding too that more people outside of Utah are feeling that way? I don't talk to a lot of people in the beer community outside of Utah, but like other brewers, you're seeing them. Hey,
yeah. Surprisingly, yeah. So Utah. I talk a lot of yeast people across the country. And they're like, Utah's got some kick ass beer. And.
A lot of award-winning breweries out here.
And we are still, like, bottom 10?
Like
if you will?
Of breweries per capita.
But you
like,
know
there's,
what?
We welcome more growth.
There's room for growth, for sure.
And I'm okay with that. Let's go. Like, we'll bring it on. Absolutely.
I don't have to drive to Wyoming to get beer anymore. I just go directly to a brewery, and I can usually talk to the brewer, and it's really exciting, you know?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
Yep.
So, Tim. Last beer we have in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
You have a scotch, right?
Right, yeah.
So tell us about this one.
This one, Let me see the history on this one. I didn't write any notes on this. It was kind of a last-minute addition. This has been in my cellar. So this one, I first brewed, I think, in 2020. I might have submitted it for Beehive Brew Off. I don't know if it won anything there. But so this one I brewed last June. So we'll see.
So it's lager.
it's been around a while. But nice. Got some good time on it.
I was using my Helles glass.
Yeah, the Helles glass is probably good.
Okay. We'll see how this one looks.
So, Tim, while you're pouring that one, I'm going to ask Chad a question.
This one's a little light on the carbonation, too. That's what I remembered about this one.
Oh.
It was a little...
There you go. Yeah. Not the same head like the other ones did.
No.
But also probably got some booze behind it to kind of kill it.
Yeah, so this one's at 9%.
Nice. And
this is probably the biggest beer I've brewed.
Well, cheers.
Yeah, cheers. No, thank you, guys.
Love a good Scotch ale.
So this one I modeled after Old Chubb. Obviously, it was probably the most famous Scotch ale, Oscar Blues.
Mm-hmm.
I like the caramel malts on that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's tasty.
Yeah, that's holding up. I mean, touch hot. I like that, though, but not overwhelming hot.
Yeah, and I wish I had written down the recipe
again,
on this
your
one,
clarity,
too.
Again, dude, what are you doing? Are you using...
The bottle conditioning is... Just bottle conditioning, I love bottle conditioning.
I think it knocks everything to the bottom pretty well, so...
Jesus, dude.
Yeah, that's kind of what I remember it. So this is the second batch I brewed of this one. In fact, it's coming back to me. I think the first time I brewed this, it was for a Christmas gift. And I was happier actually with the first batch than this batch. So, but that one I think I probably could have used a little bit more. I don't know, maybe a little bit more bittering, and obviously a little bit more carbonation. I think on that one.
It's nice though. It's got some layers to it. It's got a nice firm bitterness.
You think so?
Okay. What hops is using this?
I wish I could remember. I don't remember on this one.
I mean, it's sweet, but it's well attenuated, and but it's like malty sweet, and then just a hint of sweetness at the end there, and that's gone.
Oh my God, Chad, we got Tim Heron homebrews. How do you feel about that?
It's really good, man.
Oh, thank you, Tim Heron, appreciate that.
What is the next homebrew?
So I have a Schwartz beer actually fermenting right now.
Yeah.
So I'll be competing against Chad probably in Lagerpalooza. I don't know what style you
Hell
do.
Yeah.
But.
I did a rice lager. International lager.
Yeah. Cool.
Hell yeah. I'm excited.
It's my first shot at a Schwartz beer, so we'll see how it turns out. But.
What are you gonna name it? Top of your head, you know?
Probably Kyle Schwartz beer.
Kyle Schwarber. My God. Are you a Cubs fan?
I am a Cubs fan,
wow,
yeah.
But you live in Utah.
Yeah.
California.
Well, yeah, we had WGN in Utah, so
the
Chicago Superstation
broadcast
all the Cubs games in the middle of the afternoon.
Is that your favorite baseball team of all time?
It is.
Cubs?
Yep.
Good for you, dude.
It is.
Yeah, he can slap, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was a fan long before they won the World Series, so I...
Oh, so you're not a bandwagon.
Not a bandwagon.
Straight.
And it might be a while before they win another one. So
it's okay. We'll wait another 100 years, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Going back to the podcasting, I really need to ask this question. What's one of your favorite interviews you ever did?
That's a great question. There's been so many that have been really good. I mean, Chad's was great. Just because I love his story. Like the hometown kid opening up a brewery, right?
Yeah,
right,
that was
next
fun.
Next to his house where he grew up. That was awesome.
That was like almost 4 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, you were one of the early ones.
Uh-huh.
Can you believe that? You're almost the oldest Fisher.
I know. It's crazy.
We're
not the new kids anymore.
Nope.
But I still feel like we are.
God, there's been so many good episodes. I'm trying to think. What was just a really fun one that I did? The Flying Bassoonist was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Just
because he had a good story. You know, I did one with Rebecca Cardassio,
Joey's
wife.
She's awesome.
Just,
I love that.
Yeah, to talk to her about the sales and marketing side of brewing. So I found that one really interesting, and she is just so knowledgeable about all things craft beer. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was great. We recorded that one at Bewilder. That was like one of our
nice
kind of neutral location ones. it was good. It worked out. Ross and Cody are great, too. I should give them a plug as far as giving me information about different things. They're always awesome to tag Utah Beer News on different things. And
I love those guys.
Yeah, they've done a lot too. I'm happy for them.
Who's someone you haven't interviewed yet that you are just dying to interview?
You know, I'll tell you this. I have been trying to get the Fisher Boys on my podcast for years, and then somehow they appeared.
I was so sad I wasn't able to be there to co-host. I was looking forward to that.
Yeah,
I couldn't make it.
Episode,
yeah, it was short and sweet, and I loved it. And the very end of it, Steve's like, did you get all the questions you want to ask? I'm like, no, I could stay here for 6 hours, dude. Yeah. But those boys are just, I don't know what it is with Fisher, but it has this homey, nostalgic badassery. I just want to, what they've created is just, I can't put my finger on it. It's home.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
they brought a culture that Utah was missing in the beer scene here.
And those boys are all in unison. But get them on, dude.
Yeah. No. I mean, I was just kidding about that. I mean, I've asked them a couple times, but it's
it'll come around, dude.
No, they're busy dudes.
They are busy dudes.
Just so busy.
Trust me, they're busy dudes.
You know, just like you said, they've all got kind of their own lane that they're operating in, which I think is so valuable. Just from a brewing standpoint, a merchandising standpoint, a business standpoint, they're all really skilled at what they are doing.
They make a great team.
Yeah, they're an amazing team.
It's awesome.
The other team, because I think those four boys do a great job. The other team that I'm very impressed with, and I'm still waiting for, there's something I'm waiting for them, just like, there's something missing, but the Grid City Boys.
Yeah.
So Justin, Drew, and Jeremy, they are kicking ass, but they are on the verge of being the next like Fisher Place. Like they, I don't know what it is, but they're there. But they just need a.
Their rooftop patio might help. I mean, the first full summer this year.
Give me one full year at that, and I think because those boys are a great team, and they are all hustling.
Yeah.
Jeremy's always grinding his ass. Drew has like 15,000 jobs, and Justin is also working his ass off.
Right.
And they do exactly. I look at them. And I'm like, you guys are doing the same thing the Fisher Boys are doing, just like grinding passion, creating a space for all of us that we need, and us brewers are all going to that spot.
Right.
It's a great place to be. Great beer, and I want to vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe time. Maybe
and classic time. Styles too. They got classic styles, and the fucking seltzers are so good. Like I'm not. I don't like seltzers, but there's a few out there that I'm like, holy shit.
That rosé, the hybrid.
The rosé.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, Jeremy's doing a great job on those seltzers. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
But he's very passionate about, like, what the ingredients he uses and everything, too, which I love. So.
Right. And that makes a big difference. Yeah, using top-quality ingredients.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
So, Tim, when it comes to Utah beer news, what's next? Well, I know you're talking about you're going to probably focus on the newsletter.
Yeah, I think
But what's some future goals for Utah beer news?
You know, I just like to continue to be really, like, immersed in this community and get to know more brewers, get to know more beer, you know, improve my palate and my tasting of beers. Just really, I think, I said, the newsletter, I think I'm really going to focus on increasing subscribers. I don't know what that's going to look like exactly, if it's going to be some sort of a Patreon-type model or just a, you know, a real subscription-type thing. But just in order to devote the time I want to it with my other jobs and responsibilities, it can't be so much a passion project anymore. So I'm going to look into ways to monetize it a little bit. That's kind of the next step, and we'll see what happens.
Nice.
I like that, Tim.
Yeah.
We're going to see a Utah Beer News tattoo anytime soon?
I don't know. Are you getting one?
I'll get one if you get Taste Master's one.
Oh.
Boy, have the tables turned. That's hilarious. Have you ever seen a Utah Beer News tattoo?
No.
Yet.
No. Yeah, no. Yet. I don't think that's happening. No.
Shall we do this? So, another question I have for you. When will you be satisfied, man? Will you ever be satisfied?
Oh, man,
or is the grinding going to continue? Is the passion going to be unchaseable?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of... Yeah, my newspaper background, I think, kind of puts me in a position where I'm just always looking for something else. Like, I'm, it's hard for me to just rest. Like, I'm always either researching something. I kind of have a little bit of an imposter syndrome where I always feel like I don't know enough about something to talk about it. So I spend a ton of time researching. Like, honestly, that's why it took me so long to really commit to being on your podcast, is because people don't really want to hear what I have to say about beer. I don't know that much about it, but finally decided, yeah, what I know a little bit about beer. I can talk about it for an hour. But yeah, it just, I don't know if I'll ever be really satisfied, I guess. Just always want to be learning. Good. Just always want to be, you know, seeking out new and different opinions on things. And so
the best thing, trying to get you on this podcast, Tim, is huge for me. I love you. Like, you are awesome, and I've been nervous about this, but in a good way.
Yeah.
I don't need you to know everything about beer. That passion, that heart you have, that's what I'm trying to get on this microphone. Awesome. And I'm glad you finally committed, because that's what we're going to get.
Yeah.
Besides the tattoo, I'm getting that passion from you.
All right.
But what's something that you've always wanted to ask a brewer like Chad? Is this something that you've always, like, a brewer, you're like, I just want to pick your brain, I'm going to ask this question. And Ooh. Then you have Chad, who I know you look up to.
Well, you're a brewer too.
Not as good as Chad, but yes, I am. But what's something you want to ask a brewer, like, you're just dying to ask?
Man, has it all been worth it? I know it's so hard to get a brewery off the ground. I mean, has it all been worth
Definitely.
It?
Yeah, it's been the hardest thing I've ever done with my life. It's been the most trials and tribulations, and just, it's been a lot. And, you know, but ultimately, it's just so cool to be a part of this community and be a part of, like, my hometown, seeing where we've come all these years, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's big. It's a lot.
That's one thing do you want to answer that too? I mean, has it been worth it for you? I guess you don't own your own brewery, but.
I don't, but has it been worth the fact it to that be I get to, craft. Yeah. I get to somehow create, and not only that, but I got to be in this, to me, it's a sacred community, and to meet Chad, I never had brothers growing up, so I can look at Chad and say, you're my brother, dude, and I trust this guy, and a lot of my other brothers in the community, and then I have these beautiful sisters in the community that I'm like, oh my God, you are like family. So then I realized that this community is a family, and I'll do my best to not ever fuck that up, period, because it's sacred to me. And I'm not, now that I'm a brewer, I don't see me going anywhere else. I really don't. I'll go work in the cellar at someone. If I can't brew, then I'll be in the cellar packaging if I have to, because that, to me, my foot will always be in the door somehow.
Cool. Yeah. That's awesome. Nice.
Yeah. So my last few questions for you, Tim. I was going to ask you, I want to know your opinion on the Utah beer scene. When you think of the Utah beer scene, what comes to mind? How would you describe someone out of state, the Utah beer scene?
Boy, I think close-knit community. I think brewers supporting brewers has been my experience. I don't think there's a huge, like, fight to the death competition type thing. I think it's all very complimentary and understanding that the brewers are all in this together, and they all want to, like, make the best product possible for the beer drinkers. And that said, I would love, as far as the beer scene goes, I would love, I think some other cities have a strong kind of like a guild component maybe. And I know we have a Utah Brewers Guild, but I'd love to see that even strengthened to where you're bringing in like public and brewers and I don't know, legislators and things like that to all kind of have conversations together. And I guess something that's just really a cohesive bond to bond a lot of different interests. I think that would be cool to have. But as far as the scene goes, I think it's great. There's room for growth. There's a lot of interesting things happening right now. A lot of brewers taking chances on different things, it seems like, and just seeing, you know, if the public's going to respond, and a lot of times they do, and it's great to see. So I think that's really vibrant right now, and I'm excited to see what the future holds.
I like that. Hell yeah, Tim.
Yeah, definitely.
What's something that me as Tastemasters, what can do help to you, Utah Beer News?
Well, I mean, just having me on your podcast is a big help. I really appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I'd love to pick your brain on kind of how you've developed your brand and how you've gotten to grow to where it is right now. I mean, with your, you know, sponsorships and things like that, I'd love to pick your brain about, you know, how that all came to be and what you had to do to make that all happen. Mm-hmm. But, other than that, I just think keep doing what you're doing in the beer world. I think you're doing a great service for a lot of different people and getting the word out about a lot of cool different breweries and distilleries and other fermentation projects. It's, you know, because outside of breweries, I mean, I don't know if there's really any, you know, podcast websites that are doing a ton on the alcohol, the hard alcohol or... you know, other types of beverages that you guys are doing. So keep doing what you're doing, man.
Thank you. It's the girls from Pink Boots that changed my mind about that because I would bring distillers on and like people like James Weed, home brewer, but he's not a brewer, but he's got a huge impact in the brewing scene. In Utah,
yeah.
For
yeah.
sure.
Oh yeah.
And so, and the Pink Boots, they've changed it to, you know, in the fermentation process. I'm like, okay, I need that because like I said, the kombucha girls are just as important to me as the brewers. And the distillers, right? Tim Herron, plug what you have. How can we reach Utah Beer News? If we need to talk to Tim Herron, subscribe to your email, podcast, Instagram, merchandise, Facebook.
Sure.
All of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty open. Anybody's welcome to email me directly if you have questions about beer, if you want to learn more about what I'm doing. It's just tim@utahbeernews.com. And all of my social is Utah Beer News. And you can subscribe to the newsletter at utahbeernews.com/subscribe, and those go out the first Thursday of every month, so the next one's going to be coming up pretty soon, and we'll go from there.
No, Tim, thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy schedule to come here and sit down with Chad and I. What you're doing for the community is incredible, and I don't think you understand the magnitude you have and the impact here in Utah. I will yell at you if you stop doing that.
All right.
But thank you for keep doing it. I know you took a little hiatus, but I hope it refreshed you, gave you a little more balance in your life because you have given yourself a priority that you need to keep up with, man. And I'm going to call you out on it. Like, keep doing it, dude, because you are awesome, Tim.
Oh, I appreciate
you
that.
You are a big, hard motherfucker.
And beer is awesome, delicious, dude. Too. Oh.
And keep making beers, dude. Yeah, anytime you make another homebrew, whether you're brewing it or it's ready, I'll give you Chad's number.
Okay,
let's go.
Yeah. I'll be sure to save some.
Yeah, absolutely. And Chad, thanks so much for being here today and hanging out with us and sitting with Tim Herron, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Guys, is there anything else you need to talk about for the rest of the day?
No.
I don't think so. Thank you so much, David, for having me. I appreciate it.
And we'll, just want to finish Tim's beers here.
And I want to finish that, and then can't wait to the next Utah Beer News episode.
All right.
Definitely.
Until the next beverage, my friends.
Cheers.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter @TheTastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow @Fuse_Audio.